Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the podcast. Men, as always, I'd like to begin by thanking you for checking out today's podcast episode. When you get the opportunity, make sure you visit thepursuitofmanliness.com. You can find this podcast episode, the whole catalog of previous podcast episodes. Sign up for the email newsletter. You can check out the gear store right now. Registration for Tribe 14 is open. So if you want to know more about Tribe, go there. There's a lot of information. You can find links to YouTube playlist that talks about Tribe. It'll answer all the questions you are looking for. But I want to remind you, the Monday episode is sponsored by Joy Light Coffee Roasters out of Topeka, Kansas. Click that link in the show notes. It'll take you to their website. Not only can you save 10% off your order when you put in POM10, but you can learn a lot more about Joy Light. You can learn about the subscription program. You can see how you can save on shipping when you buy $60 or more. Make sure you click that link in the show notes, Joy Light Coffee Roasters out of Topeka, Kansas. Men, it's time for today's podcast episode.
Let's pray. God, thank you for Ryan. Thank you for the ability for us to connect like this. God, I pray for the men and women who will be listening to this show. This conversation is important, and it's probably not one we have enough, and we're not always sure how to approach it or what that might look like. And God, I'm so thankful for Ryan. I thank you for his heart for to serve the kingdom, to serve the local church, but God, also to write a book like this. Because we can feel like, you know, maybe there's something wrong with us, or maybe there's something missing, or, you know, a lot of things that can come into play here. And we know a lot of the stories that people begin to believe that really do cause tension are from the enemy of our soul. And I pray that we would hear you speak to us. And I pray that everyone that listens to this, reads the book, whatever they're doing, God, that they would be in tune with the Spirit, and that they would understand that they were created for a purpose. And first and foremost, to know Jesus and to make him known. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, men, at this time, I want to welcome Mr. Ryan Weckenman to the podcast. Ryan, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This is an absolute honor. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Well, Ryan, I am as well. And would you just get us started? Would you just introduce yourself, who you are, what you do, and we'll get into your book.
Yeah, so I am the teaching pastor at Red Rocks Austin. So I've lived in Austin, Texas for the last 6 years, planted the church with a few of my best friends, and it's been going really well. But I also just recently finished my first book called Single Today that I believe comes out tomorrow. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so that has been a four-year journey. And so I am very, very excited to be talking about that. It's a book about singleness, and that's a topic that I'm passionate about because I've been a single pastor for the last decade.
Right, I got a lot of questions, and I'm probably going to step all over myself because as I thought about this, I'm married. Okay, so as I think about this, I have single friends, and so sometimes I'll be, you know, my lane that I'm living in isn't the same as theirs, like people with kids who don't have kids or whatever. So I don't know if there's a big market for single books. So what led you to write this book? And yeah, man, what's been your feedback so far?
Such a good question. So there is a growing amount of people who are single. There's a rise in singleness. People are staying single later into life, and then more and more people opting not to get married altogether. And we can get into, there's good things about that. There's bad things about that. There's ugly things about that. And we can dive into that as much as you want. But for me, I've always just as a pastor who has always just felt independent and always felt very at peace on my own, my like pastoral heart has always been to sit with the person who is single, like shepherd the individual who is single and maybe wants to be married, but the right person hasn't come their way yet, or maybe keeps pursuing a relationship and it keeps ending in the same way, and they're seeing these patterns in their life that they can't get past, or whatever, or maybe like me doesn't have a huge desire to get married and feels like there's something wrong with them. I have just noticed over the years that there are a whole lot of single people in this world, and sitting with them and helping them through this time of singleness has turned into this really cool call on my life, this cool ministry for me.
I love it. I've served at churches where there were single ministries or people wanted single ministries, and man, they're such a blessing, but they're, you know, there's also that meat market aspect to it. And, you know, they're kind of, you talk about two enemies of singleness.
Yeah.
Let's start with that. What are those?
Yes. Yeah, so, and this is from just sitting down with so many single people, probably in the thousands at some level over the years, and just hearing them out saying, hey, what are you struggling with? Like, why is being single so hard for you? And just getting inundated with all of these answers. And then one day I realized that really all of these answers fit pretty neatly into two categories. And so these are what I call the two enemies of singleness in the book. And the two enemies are yesterday and tomorrow. So to break that down, by yesterday, I mean the past. It's shame from the past. It's regret from the past. It's the one that got away. It's, I can't believe I sent that text. I shouldn't have sent that way. All of that from the past, like that stuff lives rent-free in our minds, just on repeat. And by the way, this is true for married people as well, I'm sure. But when you're single, there's an extra ounce of that, like, oh, did I mess all of this up? So that's the first enemy. The second enemy is tomorrow. It's worry about tomorrow. It's, am I going to be single for the rest of my life? It's, what does this mean for Christmas time when I have to go see my extended family, right? It's worrying about all these things that haven't even happened yet. And so I always say yesterday holds us down while tomorrow beats us up. Like the two make a really deadly combo. And meanwhile, Jesus, who was single, by the way, said things like, don't worry about tomorrow, as he called people to live on purpose today. Like when you read the Gospels, you see this man who was just constantly interested, infinitely interested in the person right in front of him. And living and calling his disciples to learn to live on purpose today. And so that's really where the heart behind this book took form. I call it Single Today. And I'm really calling all single people to double down on today. What's the purpose right in front of you today?
Okay, two things. One, Paul said the same thing. It's not, you know, mm-hmm. if you don't, not, it's not good for y'all to get married, but if you need to get married, that's fine. But the book makes sense. The title makes sense now, Single Today. Okay. Yeah. And so that's the book, Conquer Yesterday's Regrets, Ditch Tomorrow's mm-hmm. Worries, Thrive Where You Are. Well, Ryan, I live in a neighborhood that has an HOA and I'm not thrilled about it. It's the only one I've ever had in my life. I'll never have another one again. You got, did you get an email or letter or something from your HOA about the pool?
I did.
That's what led to this book, huh?
So it started the whole thing, man. Yeah. So they emailed me, this was years ago now, and their email was, the pool will be closed until further notice. And I joke in the book a little bit, like, you would love for the HOA fees to go down a little bit, you know, you'd love for them to change it up a little bit. Nothing. They just said, tough luck on the pool. And so I, on my morning run, I run past the pool every morning. I ran past it this morning. And when I got that email, I was looking at it thinking, hey, you know, the pool is fine. Water is water. I'm sure I can just jump the fence and go jump in. It's okay. But then about 2 weeks into that process, I would run past the pool and I realized this like green tint starting to form. And then about a month later, the thing had just turned into like this all out swamp, because there's usually people that come through and stir the water and add chemicals and make sure it's clean. After they sent that email, they just stopped worrying about the pool altogether. And within 4 to 6 weeks, it had become this stagnant swamp. And as I was running past it one morning, I realized that's what I'm trying to help single people realize. Because, and this is just me preaching from my own experience, as single people, it can be really easy to let our souls turn stagnant. What I mean by that is, first off, let me start here. I believe that marriage is God's idea. From the second page of the Bible, it says, man, it's not good for man to be alone. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one. So sometimes I get worried that people throw me into this category as someone that's against marriage. I'm not at all, for the record. I officiate weddings all the time. I'm a huge fan of marriage. And one of the reasons is because when you're married, you have somebody else in your life who is stirring the water in your soul. They're doing that by asking you, hey, how's your day? Hey, what are you thinking about right now? Hey, what are you dreaming about for the future? What's going on in your life? And you, and when the marriage is healthy, are doing the same thing for them. Hey, even like when it's not comfortable and when you don't like it, you at least are stirring the water for one another. But when you're single, you don't necessarily have that baked into your life. And so what can happen very easily, I think this is especially true for men. And maybe I'm just saying that because I've experienced it in my life, is we can start to get stuck. We can start to get stagnant where every day starts to feel like a less exciting rerun of the day before. And you know, you start to even like eat the same thing every night and have the same haircut every single day, you know, and like routine is one thing. I'm a huge creature of habit and routine and all that, but I'm talking about like when you start to lose the excitement for life. That can happen when we're single. And so really this book is my best attempt to go, we're not going to let that happen. We're stirring the stagnant water back up. We're going to get back into the game, whatever that looks like for you.
Let me ask you this. As you're saying that, and I'm hearing that, and I'm seeing people in my mind who I know are single and stuff. You say stirring the waters. As a single guy, do you need married couples to stir the water for you? Do you need me to ask you, hey, Ryan, you going to get married? You got any girls? You got any, you know what I'm saying? Like, we can actually maybe do more harm than good, you know, and not intending to. It's like when someone loses someone, people say things or do things, you're like, ah, that's not, but they're just trying. So from a married standpoint, What do we say? What do we do if we're trying to encourage or ask or say how'd the date go, or, you know, do you know what I'm saying?
Such an important question. Thank you for asking. And by the way, like, I wrote this book for single people. I also wrote it for married people. Like, I want to help. I want to teach you how to talk to us. And everybody has sons, daughters, nieces, nephews, neighbors, coworkers who are single. And so I love that question. And if you have ever tried to initiate a conversation with a single person in the hopes of helping them stir that water in their soul and got met with just resistance, right? Of them just like completely shutting down, or maybe them getting angry and fighting back. Let me help for a moment. What we are hearing as single people, and I know that you all aren't intending for this to happen, but what we're hearing is, oh, there's something wrong with me. Like, there's got to be something wrong with me. And if I knew what that something was, I'd probably be married by now. And so I'm sorry that I don't know what it is, but go ahead and like pour some more salt on that wound while you're at it. Right. And so what I've realized in my life is like, it took me a long time to realize, like, oh, my uncle is just asking about my love life because that's what humans do. Like, he's just trying to create some small talk to hopefully dive a little bit deeper into these conversations. And so I've learned to have grace. But I think, to answer your question, one of the ways that you can help single people like me is start from a place of strength when you're talking about singleness. So here's a great opening question. Hey, what's your favorite part about being single? And what you're doing is you're giving me an on-ramp to start talking about all of the blessings that come with this time and all of the benefits and all of the advantages. And what you'll find is if we start with the good, let the single person naturally go into, but also it's lonely sometimes. And also I struggle with anxiety here. And I wish I had somebody to talk to about this, or I feel isolated in this regard, or sexual temptation is there for me. Like, we'll get to all of that. Let's just not start there. Does that make sense?
100%. As you're saying that, I'm thinking of people who have been divorced. Like, this is now their new reality, that I'm single, or I'm, you know, widowed. Sometimes that depending on your age and season of life, you know. So we talk about promoting books. This is a book that I think you wrote. I would assume the heart is to the single individual. However, this is a book that pastors, whoever need on their shelf to give to their college age student to, it's like when a couple gets married, people start saying, when are you going to have kids? Like, man, I don't know. I don't understand how that, I'm not in control of that. The same way you wouldn't want to force a single person to feel like there's something inadequate with them, or here's a flaw that you may not notice about yourself. This might be preventing, you know, guys from showing up or whatever. You know, I think just having some understanding goes a long way.
That's so good. And you know, what's fun is as I've been writing this for 4 years, and along the way, I've realized that that singleness is such, it's a much bigger topic than I initially realized. I was preaching, I do a sermon called Flip the Script on Singleness. And I was preaching it at a church on the East Coast a couple years ago. And a lady came up to me who, her husband passed away a few years earlier. And she was just telling me, she was like, I personally don't have a desire to get remarried. And I'm very content where I'm at. And I'm at a place in my life where I can bless a whole lot of people and help a whole lot of people. But I don't feel like people bring that up in the church ever. Like I feel like that's like a missing piece in the church. And I was flying home from that going, this topic is massive. And so the first line of the book now is everyone is single at some point. Like, let's see how well I can quote myself. Like the young woman who has never been asked on a date, the widow waking up in her bed for the first time in decades, you know, the middle-aged man who gets blindsided by divorce, something like that. Mm-hmm. And what I'm realizing is like, okay, this topic is massive. We have like church leaders, you have so many people in your church who are single. Some of them fit the classic young adult mold. A lot of them do not. And so I'm trying to equip you to shepherd those single people, no matter what life stage they're in.
And that's what I'm thinking. I know more that are not in that young adult. You know, I know more that are in that 30s and up window. And yeah, you talk about a line that's repeated in the book. I don't care. I don't care. I think that means you care. What is that?
So this was from a moment in Laguna Beach years ago. I was speaking at a church there, and one of my best friends' mom, Sally, she's like this legend in Laguna. She's an epic painter. But she's also like just makes disciples left and right. She's one of those like wise sages, you know. And I was talking to her in the lobby before this was a youth group, and all the kids were being dropped off. And this young, like freshman high schooler comes running up to us, this young girl, and she interrupts our conversation and she goes, "My boyfriend just broke up with me, but I don't care. He says he wants to see other people, but I don't care." And then she like ran off, which is just like phenomenal. This is like youth ministry at its finest, right? And Sally said something that I've never forgotten. She goes, "Huh, I don't care. I don't care. I think that means she cares." And then she, you know, walked off to go help the girl and comfort her and all of that. But I've held on to that line for a long time because I think this is true of all people, but especially for single people. And let's just say single men, I think especially, maybe it's just true about me. The thing that I need to address the most is usually the thing I'm pretending not to care about. And so the feeling that I have down deep that I just try to push down by like working harder, you know, by achieving more. For me, it's right. It's always, I'll just write 500 more words and then I won't have to think about this loneliness that's down here, right? It's always the thing that I'm going, I don't care about that. I don't care about that. That I wonder if the Holy Spirit's going, I don't care. I don't care. I think that means you care. And the brilliance of it is, and God cares about it deeply. And God knows what you're going through very like deeply and wants to go into that space with you. And so I wonder if someone's listening to this right now and there's an aspect or an element of their life that they're pretending like, you know what, like that breakup, I have some bitterness maybe, but it's fine. I'm over it. I'm past it. I wonder if it's like, hey, you're not, like you're still holding on to some resentment and there's some unforgiveness there. And I'm just telling you that's You're paying rent to that unforgiveness. And if you would just take some time to let God heal it, you would realize that you can walk into today feeling so much lighter, having so much more capacity in your heart to love people. And maybe there is a new relationship waiting for you, or purpose waiting for you, or ministry waiting for you, or whatever it is right on the other side of actually addressing that thing you're pretending that you don't care about.
As you say that, another thought comes to mind. I correlate that kind of like the grieving process, something that we're kind of walking through at our house and stuff. I've told people that when I'm serving Jesus, like I feel better. When I'm looking for people who I can encourage, love on, write podcasts, whatever it is, you know, when I'm doing kingdom minded things, suddenly it's not about me no more. And that goes away. Now when I stop and I kind of get into that self-loathing and I become one with the recliner, nothing good comes of that. And so what you're saying there to a single person, you know, or to people in general, for that matter, is don't make the kingdom about you, right? Make it about the kingdom. And when that happens, perspective changes, and you never know who the good Lord is going to send your way.
So true. So good. And that's where the call really is to flip the script. Because when you are single, it's just like, look, my married friends, my friends who have kids, even my friends who are single but have kids, like, they haven't thought about themselves much at all today. They can't, because they have, especially when they have young kids, they're just running around thinking about them all of the time. And again, I think that's a beautiful design by God to help us get ourselves out of the center of the story, to put God at the center, and then spend our energy serving other people. When you are single, especially if you, like, maybe you live by yourself like I do, maybe you have a job, like, my heart always goes out to, like, the single guy that works from home and is just, like, at home all of the time. There's so much opportunity there to, again, put yourself back at the center, to become one with the recliner, like you said. And that's where the water starts to get stagnant. And that's why stirring that water in your soul is this continual, it's daily bread, right? Like, I love when Jesus's disciples ask him, hey, how do we pray? He says a lot of profound things in the Lord's Prayer, but one of them is, give us today our daily bread. Not, God, give us the food that we need for the next 30 days, and we'll check back in with you the first of the month. You know, it would be like showering. Like you wouldn't say, I'm going to take 30 showers on the first of the month, and then I won't worry about it for the rest of the month. Like, nobody would do that. It's a daily practice. And the same thing is true with stirring that water in your soul, man. It can get stagnant real quick when we start to put ourselves at the center. I still have days where I see that start to happen. And usually the common denominators are, I haven't been serving anybody. I haven't been helping anybody. And I'm not talking about big things. I'm talking about pausing for the next 2 minutes, pulling out your phone, finding one buddy who's going through something, right? Or maybe has a big job interview coming up or whatever, and saying, hey, I love you. I'm with you. I'm praying for you. Let me know if you need anything. Let's go celebrate when you rock this job interview, right? Simple things like that can go a long way in stirring the water in our soul.
I've been talking to guys about just looking for people that you can encourage or ask how you can pray for them. And it's amazing. You know, I had a guy at Weigel's gas station in Tennessee. I know they're everywhere. It's a wonderful gas station. But this guy asked, how can I pray for you? His wife's got stage 4 cancer. We went through the whole deal. And I'm like, here's a guy every day standing in this place dealing with people. And he's carrying this heavy burden. Everybody's got something. And when you flip it back and say, how can I help make your burden just a little bit lighter? I'll never see the guy again, probably. And that's a kingdom win. And it changes our perspective, changes our soul.
I love that. What a great, how can I be praying for you? I feel like even the most staunch atheist is like, yeah, but if you're asking me how you can pray for me, I'll give you something. because everybody's going through something.
Well, some people go, I got nothing or whatever. And I'll look and they got a wedding band. I'm praying for your bride, or I'll pray for your job, or I'll pray for whatever. And you know what? You can't stop me. So one of the things you talk about is a game you and your friends play, the one that got away. Yeah. So is there a winner to this game? How does this work?
Yeah, the only thing missing from this game is a way to keep score. So this is a game that we came up with in 2012. Me and a few of my friends who I now run Red Rocks Austin with traveled for a year. We did mission work for a year, went all over the place. And it was an incredible year. But what's funny about traveling like that is you always see the highlights. Like in the documentary that we made, it's all the highlights. But when you travel, it's so much waiting around, like, you know, like planes getting delayed, waiting for buses. We took a boat once that, like, it was a whole other story for another podcast. There's a lot of downtime. And so we try to find a way to pass the time. And by the way, like, we didn't have phones back then, like this, like we didn't go with any smartphones or anything. And so it was just us talking to each other. And so we came up with this idea for a game called The Ones That Got Away. And what the game is we made a list of anybody from our past that we had any sort of romantic relationship with or even interest in. Or it could just be like an awkward date that didn't go well, you know, or a rejection where we shot our shot and got shot down. It turned into like, just make a list of anything you can think about romance from your past. And then what we would do is anytime we'd have downtime, the next person would just pick their next name on the list and they would tell the story to the group. And by the way, you need like a really safe group of guys to do this with. But we had that. And so we had this amazing gift where we got to take all of this stuff that we just have been sitting on, some that we were ashamed of, some that we were just embarrassed by, you know, some of those ones that just make you cringe when you think back on, I can't believe I made that joke or whatever it is. And we just said it out loud to one another in a safe space. And what we didn't realize is, like, at first we just did this for fun. We were just trying to pass the time. And then like we would start crying, which was new for us back then. You know, like we would start feeling very relieved after we would tell some of the stories. And we started to realize like, oh, I think it's really important to like process this stuff out. And so I write about in the book, one of the ways to stir that stagnant water in your soul is to find safe community where you can process the stuff from your past, because God already knows, right? But we do this thing where we like get embarrassed by it. So we don't want to invite him into it for whatever reason. But when you just talk it out, it's like shining a bright light on it. And when you shine light in the darkness goes away. That's why James says, confess your sins to each other and you will be healed. There's a healing that comes with like, we invented a fun way to confess to each other. And so what's fun is like, we got through those lists and the other three guys that traveled with me, like they all got married within a year or two of being back. And by the way, this isn't like a formula. I'm not saying like, just confess all your stuff and then you'll meet some lucky lady the next year. But that happened for all three of them. And for me, like I got to the end of my list and my conversation was, you know, what's funny is I feel like everybody's always trying to throw me into a relationship. I feel a lot better on my own. And it was my first time being able to say that out loud. And so it was just this very freeing game that if you have the right guys in your corner, I would invite you to play it. And if you don't, your next step is to get those right guys in your corner.
Amen. Amen. There's no shortcut to community, you know. And let me just throw it for the guy who listens, said I'm going to do that. You got to have a trust with those guys. Don't vomit your dating life on a bunch of guys in a hotel room. That's a good way to get booted. Brian, man, love the book. You know, I love the cover of the book. I don't know if this was you. I don't know who did it, but it's not cheesy, you know, and sometimes married books or single books are a little, I don't know, cheesy. That's how I think. I love it. I love the color.
You know, it's funny. I told him no red, no red, no pink. This isn't like a Valentine's book. This isn't a romance. I didn't even think of that. I'm literally talking about singleness, you know?
Yeah. There's no like one wedding band or one heart or nothing weird. It's just a good looking book. Hey, I've never said that before to anybody. Ryan, where do we get connected with you, your book, and so on?
Yep. So my website, ryanweckman.com, is where all the information is. You can follow me on Instagram. It's just Ryan Weckman. I have a podcast, a Single Today podcast, where I explore some of the spaces in the book that I didn't have room for in the book. So that's on, I have a YouTube channel where I post that every Friday. And yeah, those are the big ones. I'm so excited for this book and really hoping it will become a vehicle to open the door, especially for men, for more and more authentic, real conversations to happen.
I don't see how it wouldn't. So, man, I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate your heart to serve the kingdom and to equip people to just more understanding. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
You guys in the herd, I got a couple more questions.